Well, this morning, we're looking again at the Psalms. This is our fourth week looking through the Psalms. And of course, it's Easter 2021. And you would think that we would go directly into the story of Easter, the story of the resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection. But the truth is, what happened in Easter is strongly connected to an Old Testament story that is still celebrated even today. So it makes a little sense to me, at least, to go back and look at some things that might have led up to this moment. People who, in that time when Jesus is walking the earth, would have been hearing and understanding and reading these stories, telling their children these stories. They had been told these stories. And a story of a people who has not always had an easy go of it. And we're talking about the Israelites. They've not always had an easy go of it. In fact, if you know your scriptures, you know that there's this story, this occasion where these people, this family ends up in Egypt through a whole series of events that we don't have time to get into, but they end up in Egypt. And they're in Egypt for a long time. It says so long that the leadership, the kings, the rulers of Egypt, the pharaohs forgot who Israel was. They forgot that Israel had played a role in saving their nation. This is 300 or 400 years prior. And they began to enslave the Israelites. They began to put them to work. And it seemed like the more the Pharaoh did to try to oppress these Israelites, the more they would reproduce. Strange. Like the harder he would make their life, the more Israelites would come about. And he began to be concerned that this group of Israelites might be so massive that they could overtake Egypt. And so he began to really oppress them, really press down on them really hard. They were enslaved, making bricks so they could build their cities. And Pharaoh had gotten to the point where they were continuing to multiply that he put out a decree that every newborn male child should be killed, thrown into the river. Do you remember this story? And it's oppression. It's just stepping on the necks of Israel. And they begin to cry out to the Lord to rescue them, to save us, to free us. Can you come and do something? We've heard these stories about you, and we've heard about these events that you did with our forefathers, with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. Can you come and do something? And it says the Lord heard them. And he came and he rescued them out of Egypt. You're familiar with the story. And from that event, there's a celebration that comes about, a holiday, a festival that happens. And it's called Passover. And it's the remembering of the time that God finally brings the final judgment down on Egypt. Pharaoh had been throwing Israelite newborns and children into the river. And he won't give up, he won't let them go, and so God exacts punishment, judgment on Egypt, and sets his people free while he does so. And from that comes this event called Passover, and Easter is tightly tied to that time of Passover, because it's this occasion where they're sitting and having this meal that's portrayed here on the stage. It's this Passover meal that Jesus is having, and it's at the end of this meal that he finds himself in a garden, he finds himself arrested, and it's not very long after that he finds himself crucified. And the people that he was around were fully expecting God to arise, God to rise up and do something through Jesus. That's exactly what they were expecting, was that. And it's this faithful cry that people have to God. The faithful cry out for God to rise up and take action. We saw it in Egypt. We see it in other events through Scripture. We saw it. We celebrated it last week with Palm Sunday. Hosanna! Lord, save us, please. Please save us. People cry out. And it's not a cry of like a champion's cry. It's an ask. It's a begging. It's a please. It's entreating God to come and do something for God to rise up and to take action. And the language that these authors will use all through Scripture is, "Arise, O Lord, arise, Yahweh, arise, Adonai. Get up." As though God is sleeping or slumbering, or maybe he's not paying attention, or maybe he's just sitting there watching something unfold. Have you ever thought about this language? That the audacity of an author to say, "Arise, God, get up, do something." Be it all through Scripture, people, these authors, they have no problem saying to God, "Get up, rise up. Can't you see what's going on? Don't you want to take action? Please, do something." And it's the plea of all of these authors, and it's the plea of so many psalms. And in a day like today, where you look out across our culture and our world and things that have happened, especially during the last year, I think about a year ago, we were doing sermons and slippers at the table. A year ago, and here we are meeting. But life is different. People seem to be different. And there's been a change. It's as though you're not exactly sure where to turn for things that are true. I don't know about you, but I've grown to distrust just about everything that I hear. It's a strange time. I'm not exactly sure what's in store for not just Christians, but the religious around the world. Before I came this morning, I read an article about in Haiti, a pastor and a couple of choir singers were abducted out of their church during the live stream of their church. And we think we have it bad here. "Arise, God, where are you? What are you doing?" is the cry of the Christian and the faithful all around the world. All around the world. And the psalm we're going to look at today, the author is in a similar time. He's in a similar moment. He's in a similar mindset. And he's going to say the kind of things that we would say. And it may make us uncomfortable, but let's just be honest. Sometimes this is how we think. This is what the psalmist says in Psalm 12. "Help, O Lord, for the godly, they just seem to be disappearing." And this isn't as though they're being taken away. It's as though the faithful just, they where are they? I can't seem to find them anywhere. They're disappearing. The faithful, it's as though they vanished from the earth. They're just gone. And so neighbors, they lie to each other. They speak with flattering lips. "Oh, you're so wonderful." But then they go home and say, "I hate that person." They have deceitful hearts. Can I just say, just briefly, this is probably about 2,600 years old, and you can see how it has no relevance whatsoever for today. It says 2,600-year-old Hebrew poetry. And so the author, he just shares what's on his heart. He just he gets honest about what he wants God to do. And he says, "Hey, may the Lord just cut off their flattering lips. Just cut those things off," right? And we read that and go, does he mean like cut them up? No, what he means is to close them up. Make it so they can't be heard. They don't. And silence that boastful tongue, that thing that just continues. And we don't have any of that. You can't, I mean, YouTube is just full of joy and peace and uplifting things, right? We have nothing like this. Flattering lips and tongues that just only raise up themselves. And they, that's these flatterers and boasters, they say, "We'll just lie to our heart's content. We'll just lie as much as we want because our lips, they belong to us. Who can stop us?" What a modern Western thought. I have freedom of speech and I'm going to use it to be, right? I mean, this is a very modern Western thought that this ancient author is tapping into. And he's saying, "I'm looking at what's happening, and could you do something, please? Rise, God, come on." This is what he wants done. And as it turns out, the Lord replies. That's a scary thing. I suggest pray only if you want God to answer. If you're not prepared for an answer, maybe just be silent. Because sometimes God answers. And it's not always, doesn't always go the way you want it to. But let's keep this in mind. The author would like something done about these people. And this is what God's response is. Hey, I've seen the violence done to the helpless, and I've heard the groans of the poor, and now I will, what? Rise up. I will rise up. Absolutely, I'm going to take some action. You better believe it. I've absolutely had it. We're going to deal with this. I'm going to take this group that's been lying and been boasting, and their lips are their own. I made their lips. You can just hear him say that, right? God, I made those lips, and you think they're yours. It's actually more like what my mom would sound like, probably. So it might not necessarily be that exactly, but you kind of get the gist, right? You kind of get the gist. I will rise up. I've heard it. I've seen it. And I'm going to take the action. And what is the action that God is going to take? The Yahweh, the Creator, is going to take. What is this action? Well, I'm going to rescue them. Now, wait a minute. I thought I asked for you to cut off their lips, to shut them up, and to just silence the boastful. Nope. Instead, I'm going to rescue you. Instead, I'm going to do what I need to do for the faithful. Because that's what you really want me to do. Did you notice that line? You've longed in your heart to be rescued, the poor and the oppressed. If you don't see yourself among the poor and the oppressed, then a lot of scripture is not going to apply. And if you don't see your mission as a Christian to the poor and the oppressed, then a lot of scripture is not going to make sense. Because this is the whole mission. It starts all the way back, clear back in Egypt, this rescue of the people from the land. And this rescue of the helpless and the poor, I've seen the violence. I've seen, the word there is, I've seen the Hamas, the violence done. And I'm going to rescue them. I will rescue them. The Lord's promise, this is the author interjecting back in. The Lord's promises are pure, like silver refined in a furnace. Purified seven times over. Therefore, Lord Adonai, we know you will protect the oppressed, preserving them forever from this lying generation. Which lying generation? This one? This one? Can I ask a question? How many lying generations have there been? How many? We're in the middle of one. Do you think there was one? Let me ask some of those who might be a little older. Did you grow up in a lying generation? Yeah. Did your parents? Yeah. Which generation? This one. And when the next generation comes, it's that one. It's every generation has it. God's going to protect the oppressed from those generations. Even though, I love this, even though the wicked, I can't help but strut about. They're strutting, right? And we're going to praise evil around the world. And we're going to walk like it's a fancy thing to do. In which generation? Every generation. Every one of them. Every one of them have to go through this. Did you notice who else has to go through it? The poor, the oppressed, the faithful. They're in every generation. It's just the way it works. You have those who are faithful and those who are not. And our idea of rescue is to crush those who are not faithful and the liars. And God's idea of salvation, of saving, of rising up, is to take the faithful and gather them into himself and save them. And to hold them. And to bring them closer to himself and to make them his own. That's how he does that, is to say, hey, I'm going to bring you in to my world and to my protection, but I can't take you out of the world. I need you in the world. Do you know why? Do you know why we have to walk in this kind of thing? Because you're the light, because we're the light. We're not here to crush those who oppress us. We're here to love them and speak kind truth to them. And if we all go away, well, then what's the point? We have to stay here. We have to be a part of this. In fact, that is what Jesus' prayer to his Father is before he goes up onto the cross. Maybe just a day or two before he goes up. He makes a prayer for this very thing. Here's what Jesus would say. The Apostle John has written this down. I, Jesus, have given them, his disciples, but that includes us, your word, God. And the world hates them because they do not belong to the world. Amen. I don't want to be a part of the line boasting, strutting about. I don't want to be a part of that. Even though, from time to time, I am. But I don't want that. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. But why not? Why not? But to keep them safe from the evil one, the evil system that's around them. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world. And I'm going to give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. I'm going to make it so that they can exist and live within this evil of the world that surrounds them, these lying, boastful, strutting about generations that can do whatever they want with their lips. I'm going to make it so that they can be with us, God. They can be protected in the truth. They can be made holy so they can exist with us all the time. And this is God's version of rising up. So that when Jesus could go to the cross and give his life and say, it is finished, it's done, that's the part of making us holy. And at the resurrection, when he arises, God's rising up at the resurrection, he can turn around and say, hey, I'm going to offer you some new life. I'm going to guarantee to you that whether your body just expires out of just its use and age, or if you are persecuted to the point of death, you never again have to fear. You never again have to worry that evil is going to overcome. You always have an opportunity to walk in new life. The faithful would rejoice in that, would love that. The plea of the faithful is, what is it again? Arise. Get up. God, do something. Awake from your slumber. And it's okay to say that. It's okay to utter those words. The author is writing from a point of pleading. Please, please do something. And it's okay to say that. It's okay to feel that way. It's okay to utter those words. It's okay to pray that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And the scriptures proclaim that the Lord has risen. Do you get it? Do you see the connection? God, rise up. I will, and I'm going to save the oppressed. I'm going to come, and I'm going to protect them. And the Lord has risen. And he turns around to you and to me. He turns around to you and to me and he says, now go. You rise up. You rise up and rise above this. You see the value that you have. You see what role you play in this world and creation. Jesus has come and given us everything that we need to rise above those things. And that doesn't mean that we're above every struggle that we're ever going to have. If anyone in here has figured out how to not struggle with anything, please come see me later. Karen and I will work on you with you for a book. We will sell it. We'll make tens of millions of dollars because nobody seems to have figured that out yet. Rising above is something that's done every day. And sometimes we rise up and sometimes we fall. And so we know this? And the encouragement from Christ, the encouragement from God is just rise up every day. Get out. Go. Be that thing that I've intended you to be. Be that little source of light, that little source of truth, that little source of love and compassion to the poor and to the oppressed. I would add the widow, right? Be that. Rise up and rise above it as has been intended. Jim, can you slide that forward one for me, please? It seems to have gotten grumpy. That was supposed to be on the screen the whole time. Sometimes it just works that way. This is what was meant when God would say, I'm going to rise up. What we ask for, what we mean when we ask God to rise up is oftentimes to deal with those that are irritating to us. I have uttered this before. God, will you please rise up and go to that crib and do whatever miracle you can to help that child from crying because I'm really tired. Please. Sometimes that's the rise up. Sometimes that's the level. Sometimes it's a little more serious, like perhaps you've been out of work for a long time and you've been doing what you can, and it's like, God, I need you to stand in and I don't know what to do here. I'm getting up every day. Sometimes it's the loss of somebody that you love. And the heartbreak in your heart is just so crushing that you feel like you can't even physically rise. God, will you rise up and do something? That's an okay prayer to pray. The psalmist did it all the time. And sometimes we can look out and survey our world and our neighborhood and where we live and see what's happening. And we think, God, we need you to rise up. We need you to rise up and do something. And that's when the prayer may change. He may say, I did. I rose up and I put you into the world. And I need you to go and care for those who need care. And I need you to go and love those who you just can't even imagine loving. That's the approach of this God of Scripture that we serve. That's his idea of rescue. And that's what he's asked us to do through this resurrection of Jesus as we go forward. There will come a day. There will come a day when God rises up in a way that he's going to deal with evil permanently. But that's not today. And in the meantime, the best we can do is love the world that we're in. And by the world, I mean those who are far from God. To serve others in the mindset and the heart that God has tried to rescue us. And show that to the world as best we can. And I think that's what Easter ultimately is all about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for our time this morning. Father, it is the cry of many hearts, not just perhaps in this room or in our neighborhood or around the world, but it's the cry of the heart of the faithful to say, rise up. Father, thank you for rising up. Thank you for resurrecting Jesus so that we could have this relationship with you, this sanctified, holy, special, one-of-a-kind relationship with you. And thank you for empowering us to go into the world, for giving us a life and a desire to do that. Father, equip us to take care of those who need to be helped. Father, give us an eye to see the oppressed and the poor. Father, give us the courage to step out and do something about that. Father, we love you, we thank you, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.